Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
We are still knee-deep in the first wave of this.
I'm not going to be bullied into moving before it's safe, and if we have to move back, we're going to.
25% of the beds statewide are available.
We must begin the work of dismantling.
And you won't be changing the name St. Louis, will you?
No.
I don't know why that clip cracks me up every time.
I love it.
That I hear it. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Mark Cox. Oh, man, let's talk more education here. School choice, big decision from the Supreme Court recently, whether kids should be getting back to school, and even the concept of talking history in this country with our, you know, with our statues and everything. Yeah. And before we get to that, Tricia, something special's coming up.
Yeah, this just came through my inbox. Complete Auto Body and Repair is hosting their 18th annual charity golf scramble to benefit Responder Rescue and the Backstoppers. So that will be this Friday, September 11th. I will get details up on our Facebook page, The Mark Cox Show on Facebook.
All right. And if it's a scramble, that means you can suck and still be a part of the team and potentially win.
Yeah, for a good cause.
Right.
You can go out and suck at golf for a good cause.
Right. And so. And you won't contribute to the win, but you can still win with
right.
a scramble.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it works.
All right.
Yep. I wanted to, I'll just mention, of course, 97.1 FM Talk is obviously on Facebook. It's on Twitter, and so am I. So look up American Viewpoints with Mike Ferguson on Facebook and at AVP Radio Show on Twitter. Love to connect with you there. And I am on Parler as well. I'm still figuring out Parler.
Yeah.
But it's just at Mike Ferguson.
I don't know if I can handle another social media platform. I'm trying to delete them. I'm trying to scale back.
You know, if it were, I'm going to say something I'm not supposed to say.
Okay.
I hate social media.
Right.
I just, it is such a toxic cesspool of hatred.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's also a great way to aggregate news when you do this for a living.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, if I wish we could clean up social media.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. A lot going on here. Let's catch up with our friend Charmaine Yost from Heritage. Charmaine, good to talk to you, and congratulations on the Bee Gees theme music there.
Ha! Isn't that great? Yes, but I do also suck at golf, so I love the fact that you guys in St. Louis are inclusive. Come
Absolutely.
On out,
yes,
even if you suck.
Precisely.
Hey, good morning.
Hey there. Okay, so much happening, not just here in the area, but you know, obviously around the country, and I know we're several days. After this, but huge, huge ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court when it comes to school choice. Now, this isn't going to guarantee school choice for every kid in the country, but it is definitely, in my opinion, a huge step in the right direction when it comes to the Blaine amendments.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. Let me just pair that with an article that our Lindsay Burke, who heads up our education center at Heritage, just had come out in the Journal of School Choice this last week. They did original research and found that private schools that have mandates from the state, whether it's related to what testing they have to require in order to for admissions or the whether they can even have any kind of requirements at all, they found that these private schools don't want to participate then.
Right.
And that's exactly what this Supreme Court judgment goes to, is saying that, you know, if you're a private school, you can't be treated differently than other schools in terms of the state saying you have to do this or you have to do that in order to participate in a state program. And that's really, really important. And I think particularly should be encouraging to people in the atmosphere that we're in right now, where we're starting to see some real upswing in those kinds of activities.
Well, and my kids went to Christian school, and one of the conversations I've had over the years has been with, you know, administrators of the different schools they went through, and every one of them, to your point, said that if they had a state, you know, voucher program or something like that, we wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole because of all the strings that would come with it.
Right.
Does this ruling affect that potential threat for it? Or is it more like the Arizona model where, you know what, you can donate to a scholarship fund and the money can follow the kid. They can do whatever they want with it, or have that thing where, you know, you fund the kids and not necessarily just say it's earmarked for the school and cut a check to the school.
Well, what the ruling said was that private schools and public schools have to be treated the same in terms of how their eligibility for state programs. And so I think that it should give some confidence to private schools, but, you know, let's be honest, I think that we've got a ways to go before they're going to feel confident. So, but, you know, in the situation that we're in right now, as we're having such a national conversation around schooling, wow, what a moment to be reconsidering schooling across the board. I don't know what you guys are doing in St. Louis, but they've just announced out here that our kids are only going to be in school 2 days a week in the fall. So there's a real dynamism out there as people are considering homeschooling, considering private schooling. A lot of different options on the table right now.
Yeah, I think we're still waiting to get that information from the different school districts here. We know that they want to go back to school. Some districts in the state of Missouri, at least, are giving parents the choice. You know, your kid can do online or they can do in person.
But not a whole lot of in between. It's
right.
Going to be one or the
You've
other.
You've got to choose not one as, yes. or the other, precisely.
That's
so,
what it seems like right now.
And there is a push, you know, from the president and from some others saying we got to get kids back into schools in person. We got to reopen the schools, even though we still have coronavirus, you know, among us or amid us. Why is that important, or is it that important to you, Charmaine?
Well, it's important on a couple levels. The obvious is that kids need to be in school for the progression of their learning. You know, learning at that age is so importantly sequential. And so keeping a consistent routine for kids in terms of what they're learning and how they're learning is so important. But it's not just that. It's also from a health perspective, there's so many kids who rely on school as a structure and a support for their health, and to have kids be out of the house, being able to be with their friends, all of these things are part of a healthy life for young people. And, you know, and then we kind of come on over into the impact that it has on the entire family when the kids are not in school. What are the parents who need to be getting back to their jobs supposed to do if their kids are still at home?
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. And there's a lot of parents who are just at this point, after all these months and through the summer, ready to say, get out of this house now.
Well, you know, I've got a kid at home, and I'm sympathetic to that. Although, you know, honestly, I'm kind of looking at this as I love having him around. But it is better for kids to be able to get out. And you know, one of the things I'm glad to see is some common sense coming out about, as people are understanding that it is healthy to be outdoors. It's healthy to be getting the vitamin D from sunshine. You know, it's the indoors that is more of a concern. So it's important for kids to get outside.
Visiting with Charmaine Yost from the Heritage Foundation. Charmaine, let me try to make a clever segue here from schools
okay.
to history. Obviously, we've got the issue with statues all over the
right.
the country, and it's affected right here in St. Louis. You know, we had a protest where I would call it fights that broke out, but really it was just one side protesters attacking a bunch of religious people who were praying at the statue is what happened. But, you know, At one point, I just kind of got tired of talking about statues. I was kind of like, okay, we get it. You know, a bunch of leftist mobs want to pull down Confederate statues. Okay, we've said all we can say. It happened again. We say the same thing. Well, over the weekend, a statue of Frederick Douglass was yanked down. You know, we've had the namesake of the city of St. Louis, people demanding that that be yanked down. And so it's not so much that we're having a conversation. We're just yelling at each other. And the fact of the matter is that a lot of people aren't even worried about what history is. They just want to be mad and destroy something. Could that have a long-term effect when it comes to our knowledge or understanding our future conversations if all we want to do is yank down symbols?
Hey, listen, I don't know if I've ever heard somebody say it quite so succinctly in terms of, you know, this isn't about having a conversation at this point. And early on, I was trying to explain to my kids the damage and the challenge of having people who just tear things down. And the problem was early on in this is that there's the American people are people of goodwill. There's a lot of people who are open to having a conversation about what the symbolism in our public life looked like. But tearing down the statue of Frederick Douglass, and, you know, in California, they tore down a statue of a saint. And, you know, it goes on and on of just the wanton destruction, which illustrates kind of the rot at the core of the motivations going on here. And, I had a friend the other day just look at me kind of sadly and say, you know, whatever happened to the conversation about police brutality? That's talking about segues, you know, where exactly did we get from talking about needed reforms in policing across the country to tearing down statues? You know, you and I know the answer to that question, but it's worth taking a moment to think about, because in the midst of it all, we did lose the conversation about making needed reforms to policing.
Yeah, you read my mind. That's exactly what I was thinking is, you know, when the latest round of protests started, that ember, you know, that kind of lit the flame was the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And right now, I nobody's talking about that. We are talking about, you know, everything from Confederate generals to Abraham Lincoln, who freed the slaves but wasn't pro-black enough, and the one of the most thoughtful abolitionists in the country in Frederick Douglass. And you know, at some point, I even read a story of a statue of an animal that somebody wanted to yank down. And so nobody's thinking at all on this. This is just rage, and we're feeling, and we're angry. And I have a feeling a lot of these young people haven't the slightest. And I say young people because it looks like a bunch of teens to mid to late 20 people who are just either angry about everything and don't know why, or they know they're going to get a free pass and get to tear stuff up and get away with it. And it's almost destructive tourism for a lot of people. And either way, they clearly don't care about the long-term damage that they're doing to the kind of the social psyche and the soul of whatever community they're in.
Well, I like destructive tourism. And, you know, let's put a really fine point on this question of how we got from talking about police brutality to tearing down statues. I'll tell you why there was a turn. And to me, if I had to pick a single moment, it would be when the Democrats refused to have a conversation about Senator Tim Scott's bill that he wanted to bring to the floor. And in case any of your listeners don't know, Tim Scott is an African-American senator from South Carolina who had a bill to talk about common sense reforms to police. But because he's a conservative, because he's black, they didn't want to have that conversation. It turns out that it is very hard because of union rules to get rid of bad cops across this country. But the leftists in this country, starting with Nancy Pelosi, didn't want to talk about those kinds of things. They wanted to talk about their typical laundry list of leftist ideology. And so that's why they don't want to talk about having an actual conversation, because it turns out that the solutions come back to a conservative agenda.
Yeah, I think let me add to this, Charmaine, and feel free to disagree with me. As I read his bill and as I read the Democrats' bill, there were some things that overlapped really, really well. I mean, that were nearly identical, but The fact of the matter is we're in an election year and you need to keep everybody angry at each other as we head into an election, lest your opponent get the win for something. So it has nothing to do with what we actually need in this country. And we need a conversation about criminal justice reform. We just can't have it because the other team might win.
Oh, my goodness. That is exactly right. That Venn diagram of where normal common sense, good-meaning Americans meet and agree on things. No, they don't. They want to keep things polarized. You're exactly right, because we're in an election season. But there's a lot of things that people agree on. And being able to get rid of bad cops and, frankly, let's extend it back to our previous conversation, being able to get rid of bad teachers who don't meet certain standards. It all comes back to unions and which is, you know, a major linchpin of the left's foundational support.
Okay, yeah. And so that's why it's not just about, you know, something like statues or whatever the protests have evolved into. You know, that I completely agree. And that's one of the frustrating things to me, because I think the arguments over statues are just on their own silly, but we're forgetting the bigger picture, and that is really, really important. Okay, so when you talk about economy, we've mentioned coronavirus, and we've talked about the shutdowns, and I think there's a lot. We happen to be in an area right here where the two largest jurisdictions, the city of St. Louis, the county of St. Louis, along with others around the state of Missouri, and there's some confusion on the state of Illinois, of executives saying, you know, we've got to protect everybody. We can't put you on lockdown anymore, but we're going to mandate a bunch of masks. And we've had some cities even kind of hint that, boy, don't make us shut stuff down again. I don't think people would go for that at all. And also, we're hearing talk of another stimulus plan. So to me, I'm thinking this is the old Yogi Berra quote. This is deja vu all over again. Are we even thinking about making some of the draconian lockdowns and spending mistakes that we've made already? Because I think that stimulus, you know, for some people it was a lifeline, but for overall spending, it doesn't look like it was successful, in my opinion.
Well, and, you know, some really wicky-wacky things have happened, right? Like, we've now got a federal relief package that for some people now they can make more on unemployment than they did being employed, which is really kind of slowing down the recovery. I mean, people need to understand there's really good news out there. We've added more jobs to the economy in the last 2 months than they did in the 40 months following the Great Depression. It's our underlying economy is strong and healthy. Americans want to get back to work. And so we've got to take this conversation out of the polarization that you and I've just been talking about, that really is what some bad actors want to continue to see happen until November. We need to have it back to common sense, which is people, when you're going out into a crowd or where there's more than a handful of people, you do need to wear your mask. That's just common sense. We don't need to mandate it, but it shouldn't be such a political issue. People want to avoid lockdowns, and we've got to do common sense things, which is, hey, maybe in the middle of the pandemic, don't go out and have a big mass rally, right? With like the protests that we've been seeing, so much cognitive dissonance here between leftists who are saying, hey, it's fine to go out and have this big march, but in the meantime, we've got a pandemic going on. So, you know, wear your mask when you go out. It's not a big deal. You know, avoid large crowds, maintain your good public health kinds of things of washing your hands and not shaking hands when you go out. These are, you know, it doesn't have to be lockdown or just nothing.
Yeah.
We as Americans can chew gum at the same time.
I hate the fact that that shaking hands is bad now. We talked about that just a little bit earlier. Got about a minute left or so, Charmaine. And you all are doing some work that's reaching a lot of people. Lisa just tweeted at me with the link to your National Education Survey results, Civics Education, the 1619 Project, which we could do a whole segment on that alone. So, Lisa, thanks for that link. But what else in the last 30 seconds or so we got, Charmaine, should people be looking for at heritage.org?
Well, we do have this webinar coming up tomorrow at 2 o'clock, which I hope people come join us, to talk about education and this national survey that we're launching the results from. Really, really interesting, related to the 1619 Project and what kinds of curriculum parents and school boards are interested in.
All right. Charmaine Yost from the Heritage Foundation. Good talking to you. Thank you so much.
Great to talk to you. Take care.
Phone lines are open, my friends. 314-241-9797, 866-455-9797. Got some folks have some thoughts on that already. We'll get right to it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, phone lines are open, 314-241-9797, 866-455-9797, but you probably know that. I'm Mike Ferguson, in for Mark Cox. What would it take to get somebody prosecuted for acknowledging that they chose to beat somebody up, went somewhere with the intent of beating somebody up, and saying, I have no regrets on beating somebody up, and I would do it again? Where on earth could you not get prosecuted for that? And the answer is the city of St. Louis. So I'll explain why here. Yeah, as we talk about criminal justice reform, we'll go to the phones on that in just a moment. And Tricia, just a second ago, you had like that light bulb went off on your head look, and you're like, wait a minute, I need to say something.
Yeah, thank you, Denise. She's a date savant. She's like, wait a minute.
It's a sickness.
Okay, so no good deed goes unpunished. Apparently, I can't read either. This charity golf tournament is, it's the 15th annual, first of all, so I got that wrong. No, wait a minute. What the hell? This is old. All right, listen, everyone. September 11th
is a Friday. Coming up in a few months.
This Saturday.
Yes.
To the date, and that is when their golf tournament is.
Okay, and they being...
Complete Auto Body.
Yes.
And the proceeds are going to Responder Rescue and the Backstoppers. And
great,
I am not
pause,
saying,
play some golf September 11th.
Do it. Yeah.
Register now, though.
I'm going to go home.
Okay.
I'm done. That's the end of my radio career. See you
okay,
later.
So how do they register? Who they look up, who they get in touch with to do that?
Just go to our Facebook page.
Okay.
I shared the information. I'm going to double check and make sure I shared it correctly.
Okay.
Because things are hard today.
All right. Appreciate that. All right. Let's go to the phone lines here. Chris. Chris has been hanging on for a little bit, and he called in while we were talking criminal justice reform on the air. Hey, Chris, you are on the air. Did I press the right button there? I got him, all right?
Yep.
Yep. Chris, you're on the air.
Well.
Maybe I didn't.
Point out.
There you go, Chris. Okay. Right now you're on the air. Go ahead and start over.
Okay. Sorry. Good morning. I'm a 14-year Navy veteran and a 25-year police officer, and I get it. There's bad people of every profession, but I think what we need to cover more is that you need to obey the law. When you break the law, the police are going to deal with you. If you comply with the police, I guarantee you won't get shot. You just, the, The problem is we've got a bunch of spoiled brats going up that think that this country owes them nothing. Just obey the law and you will be okay. If you have a problem with a police officer, there's a courtroom and a trial process. You have all kinds of complaint procedures that you can go to. Try that instead of fighting.
I'm going to mostly agree with you, Chris, and respond to me. I'll go ahead and respond to me with what I'm about to say is one of the problems I've said, and I get myself in trouble saying this a lot when I say I agree. Most police officers, you know, do a great job. There are those rogue elements, as there are in every industry. God knows ours have it here in the media. But one of the problems is that we have too many laws. So we talk about criminal justice reform. To me, it's not just about we need to go after the cops or we need to just go over bad cops even. It means that maybe cops shouldn't be enforcing laws. We shouldn't have things on the books that put people into conflict with the citizenry for reasons that don't threaten anybody else. We've got a lot of nonviolent stuff that we're asking cops to mix it up with people on, and that creates conflict inherently. And then you can get into, you know, you can get into sentencing and you know, length of terms in jail and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that there are some people who have, you know, Philando Castile was one where, you know, he was complying and he still ended up dead, and that's really high profile. So I think there's a combination of it, but to me, I think we need to start at the source, and that's the law itself.
Yeah, and I do agree with that. And the Castile one, it showed that the system works, and that's why you didn't have a lot of media coverage on CNN, because that guy got charged. He went to jail, and he should have. I try to take up for police when I can.
Sure, sure.
But that one, I can't justify that one. But he got what he deserved. He went to jail. And this Chauvin is going to get the same thing. It shows the justice system works. Also, I do agree with you, and there's a lot of cities who are funding things because of inept politicians who don't know how to handle tax dollars, and they make the police go out and do this so they can keep their revenue up. And that does. That places citizenry and police in direct contact, and I think that is very bad practice. We just enforce the laws. If you don't like the laws, petition your government to change it. All we do is enforce it. I've enforced laws that I don't like. Why? Because it's my job. Mm-hmm. I wish that they would put the blame where it belongs, and that's on politicians.
Hey, Chris, appreciate the phone call. Keep listening. You're going to love this. You're going to love this story. When I say love the story, what I really mean is he's going to hate this story. So I was looking at KMOV's website a little bit earlier today, and we're a week plus after the showdown at Art Hill, you know, where a bunch of Catholic folks went there, surrounded the statue. They were just praying. Literally, they were praying at the statue because, you know, obviously St. Louis is, you know, a big figure in the Catholic faith. I'm not Catholic personally, but protesters showed up. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, some other rogue elements showed up, started screaming, started yelling. Mark Cox was there. He had some video of it. Right. Connor Martin, who I think was on Mark's show.
Yes.
After that. And Connor got his butt kicked out there, and people got hurt. I mean, the fists were swinging. It got violent. And this KMOV story, one of the male adult, you can call him a man or not is another thing, named Terrence Page. And he was one of those who was throwing the fist. And he's in the videos. He's on the pictures. And a News 4 reporter talked to him, and he wasn't making excuses. He said, absolutely, you better believe I did it. Mm-hmm. I'd do it again. He says he had been told that the KKK and white supremacists were in the crowd. They were not. That didn't happen. And the videos posted to social media, you can see Page confront some guy. And then Connor Martin, you know, kind of got in between them, and the video sees that. And Terrence Page just starts swinging. I'm not just singling out one guy here. It's why would anybody feel such immunity in doing something like this? Well, I'm getting to that. There's a reason. It's probably not going to surprise you. He is quoted as saying their presence alone is terrorism because they instill fear. Who? Catholics who have a rosary? Is that who instills fear? Because that's who was there. And he went on to tell reporter Lauren Traeger, he says, I'm quoting, you have to confront them in that manner, meaning violent, because they don't really understand anything else. You can't reason with them or have any type of rational dialogue because the hate is too deep for them. so many things wrong with that statement.
I mean, this guy missed the mark. If he was, if there was a Klan rally going on and he went and kicked some butt, good for him, and we'd be behind you. But you beat up a dude for praying.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
That's messed up.
Yeah, and he goes on to say that he wants hate groups to also feel pain because black people have felt pain for centuries. Listen, I disagree with Catholic theology. They're not a hate group. Okay,
right, right.
They weren't being hateful there. He basically acknowledged, and probably other people, he was not the only one. So again, I don't mean to just pick on one person. He's just the one who chose to go on TV news and talk about it.
Well, he singled himself out when he posted on Facebook with his name that he was proud of it. And a picture of him socking that guy.
Right. And he said, it is worth it because people die behind this stuff.
I wonder if it would be worth it if there were actual repercussions for his actions.
You know, it's funny you should say that because as the story points out, he's not been charged with anything. So not only did he acknowledge publicly, both on his own social media and in this news report, that I wanted to do it. I drove from North City to do it. And I did it because I wanted to, and I don't feel any regrets, and I do it again. There are photographs, there are pictures, there's his own admission, but it happened in the city of St. Louis. No charges against him over a week later. Does anybody want to wager on whether or not he's ever going to face an assault and battery charge or hate crime charge or anything like that? My guess is it ain't happening.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, 314-241-9797, 866. 455-9797. Yeah, he's just a symbol of, I think, the mindset of a lot of people. Right now, it's coming from the left. Tell me what you think. I'm Mike Ferguson, in for Mark Cox.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Where can you beat people up on camera? Say, you're darn right I did it. I'd do it again and not get prosecuted. Well, the city of St. Louis. That would be us.
Lucky us.
KMOV got an interview with one of the guys who was assaulting people at Art Hill. That's been, a week and a half ago, something like that, that happened. No charges. No charges. And he put on his own social media and he talked to the television news. And again, I mean, I'm not just singling out this guy, Terrence Mann. It sounds like I am, and to some degree, it's because he put himself out there. But it's part of the problem, not just with this particular case, but the violent crime around the city. But in this one right here, this should be a no-brainer. If Kim Gardner, took her job as a prosecutor more seriously, she would go, "Hey, thank you, Terrence. I appreciate you handing me everything I need to get you convicted of assault and battery." Mm-hmm. But that's not happening. And then we wonder why protests have been and will continue to become more violent and more aggressive. Never mind the fact that they're drowning out any actual peaceful demonstration about criminal justice reform and other things that we should be talking about. We basically got a complete license and a green light for protesters to say, "You don't like me, you disagree." Right there, man. All right, let's go to the phone line. Hey, Kevin, you're going to be up first on this one. What do you think?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My question is if Kim Gardner or any city, any municipality, any circuit court system, whatever, and I'm unfamiliar with the tiers, but if they fail to bring charges up against this guy, then isn't the next step the attorney general of the state of Missouri, and then then the feds could come in too? I mean, the idea that this guy just goes free is crazy.
that's in some crimes, and that's actually a really good question, Kevin, because that's been brought up on this particular case. Probably not. The Attorney General Eric Schmidt has fought for some changes in the law that allow his people to be deputized, basically, for lack of a better term, by the federal prosecutors, so that they could go after murders, which aren't being prosecuted in the city of St. Louis. But every violent crime, as I understand it from my last conversation with Eric, I don't think they can do it with every crime, because that is solely the prosecutor's, local prosecutor's call. And because there's no county prosecutor, Wesley Bell's office doesn't even have the authority to go in and do that because of the separation of the county and the city and the way that's all done. So very reasonable question. And in some crimes, yes. But in this one, as I understand it, no. If I'm wrong, you lawyers, you police folks, we know Kim Gardner couldn't care less what I think about any of this. I doubt that she's listening to 97.1 FM talk. I'm just saying. If I'm wrong about that, tell me. But what's that?
You don't think this is her kind of show?
I don't think this is her show. Okay, but we are actually going to have a really good conversation, because not everybody on the other side of the spectrum is that antagonistic. Representative Tracy McCreary going to join us on The Bottom Line coming up. I've enjoyed interviewing Tracy many times on my old TV show. There are people we can have conversations with without disagreeing. We'll get to that just ahead, right after the news on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.